Good morning, church.
Morning.
You know, I say all the time that I love you, and I do. I love you more than I can describe, but it doesn't even begin to compare, and I hope that you know this, it doesn't even begin to compare with how much God loves you. You know, throughout Scripture, one of the metaphors that the writers use to talk about God's people, to talk about us, is sheep. And I'm afraid that sometimes when we think about the idea that we are sheep, we are God's sheep, I think sometimes we think about that and maybe we are somewhat familiar with the actual animals, sheep, and maybe we've heard from people that raise sheep and we realize that sheep are not known for being overly smart. Have you heard this? Sheep are not known for being overly smart. In fact, some people would say they are dumb. I'm afraid that sometimes when we think about the fact that we are called sheep, we think that God is calling us dumb. We think that God is saying that his people are foolish. But that's not why. That's not why that metaphor is used. It's not about God's people being dumb. It's about God's people being dependent. It's about God's people being vulnerable. God's people need shepherds. They need care. And it's a metaphor that's supposed to not insult us, but a metaphor that's supposed to help us to realize how much we are loved by him. We've been studying through 1 Peter, and one of the themes through 1 Peter is this realization of who you are, not because of what you're going through, not because of your circumstances. Your circumstances don't define who you are. Because the people that Peter is writing to, these people are suffering, they are persecuted, they are being rejected and reviled and made fun of and mocked and marginalized, and they're going through all of these hard times, and Peter is reminding them, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are God's sheep, and God loves you, and he cares for you. So when we think about being God's sheep in that light, about how much God loves us, how precious we are to God, then this is the question that we ought to ask. What sort of men are fit to shepherd God's sheep? If you realize how precious God's people are to him, if you realize how much God loves his people, then we ought to ask, then what sort of men are fit to lead God's people, to care for God's people, to shepherd God's people? You see, because the qualifications and the characteristics that God looks for in men who are fit to shepherd his people are not the same characteristics and qualifications that the world looks for in leaders. The world looks for in leaders power and strength and might and wealth, greatness and success according to how they measure greatness and success. But those sort of characteristics, those sort of qualities are not the same that God is looking for in shepherds and leaders. So maybe you're a member here and you've been hearing us talk about the fact that we're about to put forward names of men to serve as additional shepherds with the shepherds that we already have, that the Holy Spirit has appointed to lead and work and shepherd in this congregation and who are doing this work. And you're trying to think about what other men could we nominate, could we suggest, put forward as men who can serve in this role? And I want us to help think about that. Or maybe you are a man who will at some point in the near future be approached and be asked to serve in this role. Or maybe you're visiting here, maybe you're a guest here, and we want you to know what sort of congregation this is and what sort of shepherds we have and what sort of shepherds we are looking for to be part of what God is doing here. And so that's why we're going through this morning. And I want us to think about what God says, not only in the book of 1 Peter, but also what God had said even to leaders of the past, to see what's the answer to this question. What sort of men are fit to shepherd God's people? So I want us to look back at the book of Ezekiel and what God said to the shepherds of Israel, who because of their poor shepherding, the people of God were dispersed and exiled. Listen to what God says through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, says Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should you not feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. See, these are the kinds of leaders, the kinds of shepherds who are not fit to shepherd God's sheep. The kinds of shepherds who are self-serving, self-seeking, self-absorbed, who are leading or holding a certain role for their own sake, for their own agenda, to accomplish what they want and taking advantage of the people that they're leading. Verse 4, the weak, God says, you have not strengthened. The sick, you have not healed. The injured, you have not bound up. The strayed, you have not brought back. The lost, you have not sought. And with force and harshness, you have ruled them. See, this is what God is looking for in shepherds. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for shepherds who will strengthen the weak and care for the sick and bind up the wounds of the injured, search for those who've wandered away. He's not looking for somebody who will rule with a strong iron fist. He's looking for those who will not be forceful or harsh. And God says to the shepherds of Israel, you haven't done that. I entrusted my sheep to you, to care for them, to feed them, to lead them, to love them, to be kind to them, and you haven't led like this. And so because they didn't shepherd that way, here's what God says, verse 11 of chapter 34. He says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. You didn't search for my lost sheep, so I'll do it. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse 13, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. Verse 14, I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself, listen to the words of the Lord, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. And how is it that God fulfilled this? Accomplish this. It's through the work of Jesus, isn't it? In fact, that's what Jesus says about himself. I am the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. God says because the leaders, they were self-absorbed, they were self-seeking. They did what they wanted. They took advantage of my sheep. They didn't lead my sheep. They didn't care for my sheep. They didn't feed my sheep. They didn't bind up the wounds of the injured sheep. They didn't care for the sick and the dying sheep. They didn't go out and bring back the lost sheep. Because they didn't do it, I'll do it. I'll be the shepherd of my sheep. I'll take care of them. I'll feed them. I'll lead them. I will care for them. I'll seek those that are lost. And that's exactly what Jesus did, and that's exactly what Jesus does. So which is it? Is it that we need Jesus to be our shepherd? Or is it that we need good flesh and blood men who will serve as shepherds? And the answer is yes. Yes, we need flesh and blood shepherds who will join with Jesus and be shepherds like Jesus is a shepherd, lead like Jesus leads, care like Jesus cares. So with that in mind, listen to what Peter says to his audience in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. He says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, Peter says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Listen to these words. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. See, part of the good news here is that as you saw in the video we watched a few minutes ago from our shepherds, we don't need perfect shepherds. You know why we don't need perfect shepherds? Because we have a perfect shepherd. We have a perfect shepherd. And that shepherd is doing a great job of being perfect. So we don't need our elders to be perfect. We just need them to shepherd this way, to follow the example of Jesus. We need shepherds who remember that, listen to those words, shepherd the flock of who? God. Shepherd the flock of God. We need elders, and we have those kinds of elders. And by the will of God, we will add more elders like this who remember this flock, the church universal, and this congregation. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the elders. It belongs to God. It's His flock. These are His sheep. We need shepherds who remember this isn't our flock. This is God's flock. So there's no place for shepherds who are self-interested or self-seeking or self-absorbed. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about Him. These are His sheep. And we need shepherds who will learn not only from Jesus, but even from the mistakes of Israel's shepherds, who will do what shepherds are supposed to do: strengthen the weak, bind up the injured, bring back the lost, feed them, care for them, lead them where they need to go. Those are the kinds of elders we have right now. We have 10 men who are like that, who aren't perfect. They'll be the first ones to tell you that they're not perfect, but they're doing their very best to follow the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and to be about the shepherd's business, to be about the business of shepherding, of caring for their brothers and sisters, caring for you when you're sick, when you're hurting, when you wander away and you're in a place you shouldn't be. They may have to come to you and say, brother, sister, do you know how precious you are to the Lord? Do you know what He has done for you? You are His sheep, and He loves you, and we have an obligation because we work for Him. We are shepherds under His shepherding to bring you home and to tell you it's not okay for you to be away. We need shepherds to join with these shepherds, to join with the chief shepherd, to be about the business of shepherding and caring for the sick and the hurting and the lost, to feed them and to lead them. Look at verse 3 of chapter 5. He says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. See, we see this type of instruction all throughout the New Testament, don't we? To say to anybody in a position of any sort of leadership, if you are in any sort of authority, do not lord it over people. That's how the world leads. That's how the world exercises authority. That's what the world thinks of as greatness. But we don't need that in God's flock. In God's flock, we don't domineer. We don't lord over. We don't act like masters. We set an example. See, that's the thing, isn't it? The world might look for leaders and say, well, how are they at running a business? Do they make lots of money? Are they wealthy? Are they powerful? But when we read the New Testament, and it tells us how to look for leaders, how to look for shepherds, it doesn't say, how do they run a business? It says, how do they treat their wife? How do they treat their kids? How do they treat their neighbors? How do they treat other believers? How do they treat people that aren't believers? And just listen to some of these things. This is from 1 Timothy. It's not on the screen, but just listen to what Paul says to Timothy. This is the kind of man that you should look for in an overseer, a shepherd. He says, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but listen, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his household well. See, it's about their family. How do they act with their family? How do they act with their kids? How do they act with their wife? Do they care for people? Are they gentle with people? See, these are the kinds of characteristics that are necessary for shepherds. Because you're not dealing with dumb sheep. You're dealing with vulnerable sheep. You're dealing with sheep who need shepherds who care for them, who love them, who are kind and gentle, who understand their dependence on you. Paul says to Titus, same kinds of ideas, above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers, that is, they're faithful, they're not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, their kids aren't running rebellious. He says that an overseer is God's steward, he's above reproach, he's not arrogant. He's not arrogant, he's not quick-tempered, he's not a drunkard, he's not violent or, again, greedy for gain. He's hospitable, he's a lover of good, he's self-controlled, he's upright, he's holy, he's disciplined. We've said several times already this morning, I know you listen to those things and you think, well, I mean, that's a pretty high bar, isn't it? And I'd say, yes, it is a high bar because we're dealing with God's sheep here. But we're not saying these men are perfect men. We're saying they're example setters. And one of the ways they set an example is through their humility. Set an example in their repentance. These elders we have right now are the first to tell you that they're not perfect. And the first to let you see their repentance. Because we need to see, what does repentance look like? What does it look like when you say something you shouldn't say and then you have to fix that? What does it look like when you do something you shouldn't have done and then you have to go and make that right? What does it look like when you should have done something and you didn't do it? How do you make that right? We need to be able to look at someone. And God says the people that are fit to shepherd my sheep are the ones that are examples to the flock. They're not lording it over them. They're not domineering. They're saying, watch me. I'm not perfect, but watch me. I'll be a pattern. I'll show you what it looks like to faithfully follow Jesus. Not perfectly follow Jesus, but faithfully follow Jesus. Watch me and I'll show you. I'll show you what it looks like as a husband and as a dad when I mess up and I don't do everything I should do or say things I shouldn't say, but then I try my best to make it right, that I don't kick my family around and boss them around. I don't rule with an iron fist. I love them like a shepherd loves his sheep. These are the kinds of men who are fit to shepherd God's sheep. Then he says this in verse 4. He says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. See, all throughout the book of 1 Peter, Peter is encouraging them to don't just look at your current circumstances. Because right now, I mean, both for his audience and for us sometimes, it's easy to kind of say, "Was is this what it looks like to be God's chosen people? To be a royal priesthood, to be a holy nation? Because I'll tell you, these Christians were being kicked around constantly. And shepherds are the people that have to stand on the front line of that and say, kick me first. Let the darts hit me first. I'll stand between the attacks and God's people, because that's what a shepherd does. See, when Jesus talks about being the door of the sheepfold, you know what that means for a shepherd to be the door? The sheep pen in those days was made out of rocks, and it was kind of a semicircle. There was just one opening, so the shepherds would lead their sheep into the semicircle, into the rock pen. And that opening there, that's where the sheep could get out or something might get in. And so the shepherd would lie down and sleep right there, or maybe not even sleep, just sit right there in the doorway and become the door for the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. He puts himself in between the sheep and the danger. What reward is there in that? What reward is there in being a shepherd? Long, sleepless nights, concern for the sheep. I know I'm not making this job seem very appealing, but it is. It is. See, because we all have a life we are saved to live, a calling we are saved to respond to. And for some, that calling, that life, that ministry, that service is shepherding. And there's unfortunately very little appreciation or glamour that goes with it. But what does go with it is this: you will receive the unfading crown of glory. From whom? From the chief shepherd. Because that's who you're doing it for. That's who you're doing it for. You see, we all have to remember that. Whatever job you're doing, whether or not you're a shepherd or ever will be a shepherd, you're doing something for the Lord, I hope, right? You are saved to serve, as we talked about last week. You have a life that you were saved to live. And as you live that out, you may not get too many pats on the back. You might not get too many rounds of applause. You may not get too much thanks or gratitude. In fact, people may not even know the good that you're doing. Moms, when you're changing diapers or you're cooking dinner or you're cooking breakfast or you're getting stuff ready for the day, or dads, when you're out there working or when you're taking care of your kiddos or your whatever you're doing, grandmas, granddads, I mean, all of the service that you're doing, who do you do it for? Peter says, we do it for him. This is why we do what we do. So, back to our question, what sort of men are fit to shepherd God's sheep? Here's what we need. We need men who will shepherd not for their agenda, not for our applause, but for the appreciation of the chief shepherd. Right? Not for shameful gain, not for what they could get out of it, not for their own agenda, not because it makes them feel good or look good, and not for the applause of people, but for the appreciation of the chief shepherd. To hear those simple words, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with what I gave you. And so we need you to encourage men to serve in roles like this. We need some of you men to serve in roles like this. Not for your own agenda, not for our applause, but for the appreciation of the chief shepherd. Because one day he's coming back. And he will give to all of his faithful servants the unfading crown of glory. And that's why we do what we do. That's why you suffer what you suffer. That's why you go through what you go through and give up what you give up. Because you are God's chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for God's own possession. You are God's sheep. And he's coming back. And this is what we all have to be motivated by. Why do you do what you do? Why do you give up what you give up? Why do you sacrifice what you sacrifice? Is it for your own agenda? Or for the applause of men? Or is it for the appreciation of your chief shepherd? This is the life that we are surrendering ourselves to, not just our elders, but all of us. We are surrendering ourselves to this life, to be motivated by these things. When we were baptized, that's what we were saying to him, was we want you to be our shepherd. We want God himself to be our inheritance, our lot. What we're living for is him. That's what we want, is God. And that's what we get as his people. We get God, and God gets us. And for us to work, to serve, to sacrifice, to give up, to do the hard things, to go without sleep sometimes, and to do things that are difficult and have people reject us and have people revile us and do things that other people don't understand and even mock and make fun of. And we do it all, not for our own agenda, not for people's applause, but for the appreciation of our chief shepherd, who says, I will give you the unfading crown of glory. So as we think about whose name we might submit next Sunday, who we might nominate to serve in this role, I want us also to think about our own role, the life you were saved to live, how you were saved to serve, and whether or not we are all doing it for the appreciation of our chief shepherd. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, to save you not just from sin and death, but to save you for a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of service. Maybe you're ready for that life. Or maybe you've already been baptized and you just need to recommit yourself to Him, to serving, to working, to doing whatever it is that you are called to do in your own way for His appreciation, for His glory. Or maybe you're just struggling right now. Maybe you are like those sheep who have injuries that need to be bound up, who're sick, need to be cared for, who've been wandering, and need to come home. Your shepherds love you. These 10 men care for you. And there is nothing in the world they would rather do than visit with you and be a shoulder for you to cry on and pray with you. They'll do that in the prayer room after service, or you can come forward now. Let's together we stand, sing this song.